Parshas Beshalach Avishai David. Many times we have attempted to show how carefully one has to read the texts of the Torah, of Tanakh, of Chazal. There are many nuances that are to be found in the language of the Torah, in the language of the Nevi'im Miksuvim, and in the language of Chazal. Perek Yud Zayin, towards the end of Parshas Beshalach, offers us a wonderful model for these examinations that we're about to undertake in examining the Parsha. You have in front of you Perek Yud Zayin, Psukim Aleph, all the way to Zayin, 7 Psukim. These Psukim follow upon the heels of the detailed description of the Parshas Haman. That's the Parsha, of course, of Bitochon. Lo nitna teira se chazal, ela leokli Haman. And then, juxtaposed to that, we have now a complaint directed by Klal Yisrael against seemingly Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem Yisbarach. Even a cursory examination, as I've alluded to, of the Psukim reveals a fair number of textual difficulties and the ineluctable conclusions to be derived are quite significant from a number of standpoints. Let's begin our examination of these psukim. In Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph of the Torah states, Vayis'u kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimidbar Sin l'maseihem al pi Hashem. Obviously, in the travels of Klal Yisrael, in their peregrinations, the rule of thumb generally was, Al pi Hashem yachanu, the al pi Hashem yiso. As the Torah tells us later, in explicit language, their compass, their GPS, their ways was Hashem Yisbarach. And here, the Torah attests to that very clearly. Kol adas b'nei Yisrael are traveling l'maseihem. Reminds us of the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Maseh. Eile Maseyem Lemotzoehem. But of course, the guide is Al Pi Hashem. The Torah continues, Vayachanu Birfidim, they encamped in Birfidim, Ve'ein Mayim Lishto Sa'om. Right away, this expression is difficult to understand or translate. What does the Torah say? Ve'ein mayim lishto sa'am. Simple English translation, there was no water to drink the people. What an awkward way, what a cumbersome way of expressing the fact that they lacked water. Either the Torah should have formulated ve'ein mayim lishtiya sa'am, using the smichus, the construct state, or the Torah could have stated it in clearer terms, ve'ein mayim lo'om lishtos. But this peculiar language, ve'ein mayim lishtos ha'om, in a literal translation, as I mentioned a moment ago, there was no water to drink the people, is nothing short of being astounding. What is the nature of this outlandish expression that should arouse our pique and curiosity? The Torah continues, Vayorev ha'om mimoshe. So a moment ago, they were traveling al pi Hashem. Suddenly, we have an issue. Ve'ein mayim lishtosam. And they begin to contend with Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomru. And they declare. And they say, Tunu lanu mayim v'nishteh. Give us water so we can drink. What is the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu has a double reaction. Matirivuni Madi, why are you quarreling with me? That, of course, relates back to the beginning of the pasuk. Vayar v'omni Moshe. And right away, Moshe responds to that quarreling on their part with him. Matirivuni Madi, why are you quarreling with me? But Moshe Rabbeinu adds an additional element, which the pasuk earlier, and this pasuk as well, doesn't give us any indication that that was the reality. Moshe Rabbeinu adds, Matinasun, yes Hashem? Why are you testing Hashem is Barach? So there are several difficulties that are immediately apparent. Number one, if the people are engaged in a conflict with Moshe Rabbeinu, so why does the Torah text say, Tinu lanu mayim v'nishte? They use Lashon Rabbim. Tinu, plural, you, give us water and we'll drink. When in reality, their argument seems to be solely directed to an individual, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet the language that the Torah employs is Lashon Rabbim. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction is equally puzzling. Why the double reaction? His response is not limited to the seemingly personal conflict that they have with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that would seem to be very much in order. Moshe Rabbeinu is responding to the beginning of the pasuk, Vayar va'om Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, Matiribuni Madi, what's the nature of your divisiveness, of your argument with me? But Moshe Rabbeinu adds something that seems to be very much not in the text of the Chumash. Matanasun es Hashem. Somehow Moshe Rabbeinu assumes they are testing Hashem is Barach. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu come to such a startling conclusion when the text of the Torah indicates that it was simply a personal quarrel with Moshe Rabbeinu and nothing more than that? Let's continue further. Pasuk Gimel. The Torah tells us, Vayitzmashom ha'om lamayim. The people thirsted for water. Vayolin ha'om al Moshe. And essentially they began to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer. Lomo zeh elisonu mimitzrayim. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Lohamisosi, v'yes bonai, v'yes miknai batzama. Why do you want to kill me and my children and my livestock through thirst? And obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was taken aback by this incredibly passionate and almost near violent kind of reaction. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds almost by throwing up his hands in despair in Pasuk Dali. Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu cries out, a bit more, they're going to stone me. We're astounded by the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu, who essentially has seemingly thrown in the towel, as it were, given up, and simply cries to Hashem for self-protection. And we're also astounded at Klal Yisrael with such an accusation that Moshe Rabbeinu essentially is the Shiach Hashem, took them out of Egypt, for what purpose? To kill them, their children, their livestock, with famine. And the reaction of Hashem Yisbarach is equally astounding in Pasuk Hei. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Avor lifnei ha'om. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go before the people. Vikach itcho mizikna Yisrael. Take some of the zkenim. And we know the role of Zikna Yisrael in Mitzrayim, who are incredibly supportive of Klal Yisrael, later on becoming members of the Sanhedrin. The Torah continues. Umatecho asher igisa bo asayor. The staff that you used to strike the or, Kach biyodecha v'halachta. That matzah should accompany you, and you should go to the following locus, the following destination. Pasuk Vav. Hineni oimidafanecha shom alatzur b'chorev. I'm going to stand before you by the rock in Chorev, Har Sinai. V'ikisa batzur. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you're going to strike the rock. V'yotzu mimenu mayim v'shasam. And water will come forth, and the people will be able to drink. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu immediately carries out the Tzivi Hashem. Vayas kein Moshe le'enei zikne Yisrael. And after the Torah has presented this back and forth, so we are somewhat astounded by the nature of this dialogue between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, the Torah in Pasuk Gimel indicated that they had a craving for water. So if that is the issue, we would have expected immediately that Moshe Rabbeinu would dent their complaint and simply placate them by offering them water to satiate their thirst. That would have been the appropriate response to a nation that is thirsty. Okay, they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're trying to kill us. But how? The answer is, Batsoma. We are thirsty. Vayitzma, Batsoma. Moshe Rabbeinu should have responded to that complaint forthwith by providing them with water. And that would have stayed the complaint and hopefully resolved the issue. Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu throws up his hands in despair and cries out to Hashem, they're going to kill me. So instead of a relatively facile and simple logical solution, Moshe, despondent and hapless, throws up his hands, heavenly words, cries out to Hashem. So not only are we taken aback at the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu, but we're even more stunned by the response of Hashem Yisbarach. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu to engage in a public, dramatic act with the Ziknei Yisrael. Moshe receives a divine directive at Tzivui Hashem to appear at Har Chorev with his staff, to hit the rock in order that the water should gush forth to quench the thirst of the people. What's the nature of this public display that Hashem Yisbarach is asking Moshe Rabbeinu to carry out? And especially, what's the nature of the geographic locus? Namely, the Tzur that's in Chorev. And the Torah accentuates the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu implemented, carried out this tzivui, but it was done le'enei Zikna Yisrael, in sight of the Zikna Yisrael. Furthermore, just to exacerbate the situation a bit more, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikra Shem HaMokom Masum Meribah. What name does Moshe Rabbeinu confer upon the place? He calls it with a double name, two names, Masa and Meriva. The Torah explains, Al Riv B'nei Yisrael, there was a quarrel that Klal Yisrael had with Moshe Rabbeinu, mentioned earlier in Pasuk Beis, Vayarav Ha'am Yemoshe, and then a second name, V'al Nasal Samas Hashem Lemor, they tested Hashem, saying, Hayesh Hashem B'kibbeinu Imayim, referring to the second component of Moshe Rabbeinu's response in Pasuk Beis, namely, Matanasun Es Hashem. But the difficulty that one has here is quite simple. Why does the Torah reverse the order of the names? The Torah calls it first Masa and then Meriba. Why? Al Riv B'nei Yisrael V'anasosim Es Hashem Lemor. The obvious question is, why did the Torah reverse the names? What was the proper chronological order of events initially? It began with a personal quarrel directed against Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Moshe somehow, intuitively, with his Gog encounter, and the Bini Yisera Shenitna Lo, he somehow intuited, he sensed, there was an element of testing. They wanted to test Hashem that lurked beneath and behind the personal quarrel. But the correct order should have been first Meriva and then Masa. And interestingly enough, in Sefer Dvarim, when the Torah refers to this episode, the Torah tells us there very clearly, Lo tenasun es Hashem, kashen nisisim b'masa. Don't test Hashem the way you tested him at Masa. In Dvarim, there's not even an oblique reference to any quarrel, Moshe Rabbeinu, which here seems to be the thrust of the entire parsha and its very incoherent moments in Pasuk Beis, Vayarev Ami Moshe. How do we resolve these difficulties and conundrums? So we know that one of the salient qualities of a Manig Yisrael is to develop a certain sensitivity, to develop a penetrating ability, to examine all types of phenomena that occur in Klal Yisrael, examine them with his sharp antenna, and interpret it appropriately and properly. Any error in understanding can lead to tragic consequences, can lead to a distorted interpretation that can only aggravate the problematica in the situation. Leadership in Klal Yisrael is obviously the confluence of, number one, the distinctive spiritual and personal traits of a manig, which can only really come about through what Chazal call Shimusha Shel Torah. An experienced leader is someone who ministered to and apprenticed himself to illustrious predecessors. And Chazal tell us in Brachis, Gidela Shimusha Shel Torah, Yesem Limuda. When one is Mishamesh, great Torah scholars, great Talmidei Chachamim, that's more important than the act of learning Torah itself. The Ramban in Parshas Kisisa develops this idea in the context of the pasuk that the Torah mentions, Yoshua ben Nun nar lo yomish v'toicha oyel. Yoshua ben Nun was a young man who did not leave the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Ramban writes over there, why did the Torah utilize the term nar? And the Ramban explains, anyone who serves is called a nar. The master is called ish. And those that serve him are considered to be ne'arim. The one who ministers to the master is called a nar. So too, Yoshua ben Nun is considered to be a faithful nar, an Eved Hashem, an Eved to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that kind of shimush is the function of careful and precise scrutiny after one's Rebbe, till the Talmud osmotically absorbs this personality, the midos, the wisdom, the guidance of one's Rebbe. If a student is not yet ripe and has not yet sufficiently been Mishamish's Rebbe, he's not worthy of being a manig. And that idea is evident as well from an examination of the Ramban in the wake of the Cheder Egel. The Torah in Kisisa describes Moshe Rabbeinu descending from Har Sinai, and the Luchas were biyado, the Luchas were in his hand, and now the Torah describes the varying reactions of Moshe and Yeshua to what they saw below. Vayishma Yoshua es kolam bereyo. Yoshua heard the sound of the people shouting, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol milchama v'machaneh. There's a sound of battle going on in the camp. Moshe Rabbeinu responded, Lo kol anos gevura, v'lo kol anos chalusha. I don't hear a sound shouting strength, or a sound shouting weakness, but rather, Kol anos anochi shomea. I hear a sound of anguish, of angst, of stress. That's what I hear. Vayikashekar v'lamachane. Moshe Rabbeinu drew near the camp. Vayaris ha'egel v'mecheilos. He saw the calf, and he saw them dancing around the calf. And the Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu's anger flared up. He threw the luchos down from his hand. Vayishabri osam tachasahor. He shattered them at the foot of the mountain. So we're taken aback at what seems to be two totally divergent reactions of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun. They have exactly the same vantage point. They're coming from the same perspective. And yet we see Yeshua hears kol milchama, a battle cry, which is the way the Targum Onkelos translates the pasuk. And Moshe hears again, in the language of Targum Onkelos cited by Rashi, kol anais, says Rashi quoting the Targum, kol chirufin v'gidufin klapi mala, blasphemy towards Hashem Yisbarach. And the obvious question is, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu is right on the mark, hit the target, and Yeshua ben Nun was in error? So the Ramban yes tekasha, and the Ramban uses incredibly striking language. Moshe Rabbeinu av bechokhma. Moshe Rabbeinu was a master of wisdom. Umakir b'niguni akolos. He recognizes the niggin, the intonation, the melody of the voice. And the Medrash goes on to say, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua ben Nun, someone who's going to lead Klal Yisrael, become a man of Yisrael, and a yochel ha'afchid ben kol the kol, is not able to distinguish between one sound and the next. And as Moshe Rabbeinu, with wealth of experience, immediately sensed the harsh, grating niggin of dissonance. Yeshua, at that moment, was still a novice, did not interpret that event in a proper kind of way. It appears, lefi ani yuzdaiti, that when the Nabi Yishayo in Perek Yedal of Pasuk Gimel speaks of someone, vaharicho b'yiras Hashem, that ultimately the Melech HaMashiach will have this chush, a shmek, he'll be imbibed, he will imbibe and will be imbued with the Yiras Hashem. That stood Moshe Rabbeinu in good stead here in the episode of Maso Meriba. And the Torah hints to his incredible insight and understanding. Let's start from the beginning. The first question we pose, Vein Mayim Lishtosam, there was no water to drink to people. So we asked, isn't that a rather cumbersome expression? And the answer is, Enochinami. There was water, but the people were not satisfied with its quality. They wanted a more aristocratic kind of water. In other words, Ein Mayim Lishta Isa'am, they weren't happy. They wanted a unique kind of water. And therefore, because they weren't satisfied, but they had water, so they needed some pretext to quarrel with Moshe Rabbeinu, and they found an issue. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his incredibly sharp antenna, recognized the telltale signs of mered, rebellion against Hashem Yisbarach. Now, the rebellion against Hashem was under a mask. The front argument was the demand for water, but in reality, they had water. That was not the issue. So till that point, the Torah utilizes the language. Tenu lanu mayim minishte, a remez, that not only were they directing their wrath to Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather the main thrust of their complaint was directed to Hashem Yisbarach. And in the moment they saw the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu, matirivuni madi, matanasunes Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu quickly sees where they're headed. Why do you want to kill us? They all joined the fray, and the language shifts. They were unified. But Moshe Rabbeinu recognized the issue was not a life-threatening necessity for water, but an attempt at rebellion. So therefore, Ribbono Shel Olam responded to Moshe Rabbeinu after Moshe Rabbeinu threw up his hands. If there's a simple need for water, I'll be glad to provide it for them. But the underlying issue is far deeper, namely directed against Hashem Yisbarach. Vayitzak Moshe Hashem lemor mo'eseh lo mazeh od ma'atus goluni. And therefore Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, something dramatic has to happen, something striking. You have to be accompanied by the Ziknei Yisrael. Take the staff, go to the rock in Chorev. So the Torah, in effect, in summing up this parsha at the end, captures the true underlying motivation of the people when it reverses the order of the names and places Masa before Meriva. At the end of the day, that was the issue. The Meriva was only a cover-up for the Masa beneath it. And therefore the names and the Seder HaShemos reflect
the very true nature of what was happening. Vayikra Shem HaMokoyim Maso Meriva. And the Torah explains why Maso Meriva? Because the main issue was Masa. Meriva was only a pretext. So this critical change of the sequence of events is an indication that outward behavior was simply a fig leaf designed to conceal the true motivation of rebellion against Hashem Yisbarach. And this concept is already found in a number of the Mefarshim here in the Perush Al HaTorah. Mefarshim were incredibly sensitive to the nuances of the text, and the Torah is incredibly nuanced. So many beautiful remozim that the Torah has given us. I saw in the author of the Ksava Kabbalah, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, he understands the language of Ve'im Mayim Lishto Sa'am in a similar kind of fashion. He writes, Uladaiti b'kabono hischalev kan Hashem b'mokor lahoro shelo yolem mayim b'shefa. They didn't have an abundance of water. But there was water. If the language of the Torah had been, there was no water for the people to drink, then we understand. Even a minuscule amount of water did not exist. But the Torah used the language of indicating there was water, but they weren't satisfied. So a real manhig with experience, with Shimusha Shel Torah, knows how to read between the lines and distinguish and sift the complaints of his constituency. If he reads the psychological map of his people correctly, he can devise a strategy with proper modes of behavior that will guide and direct their destiny accordingly. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did in the episode of Masa Meriva. And of course, that serves as a testament to his unbelievable, uncanny leadership qualities and capacities. Another fascinating element here is the Torah began when they traveled. Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael, a lashon of shevach. And then the Torah switches and then speaks of v'eimayim lishto sa'om vayorev ha'om im Moshe. Pasuk gimel. So the Ramban refers to a Medrash Chazal that Am is a term used when we speak about Klal Yisrael in a pejorative sense, in a nether sense, in a negative sense. So the Torah indicated to us through all kinds of Ramazim what exactly was transpiring here. And a good manhig, someone who is gifted, someone who has the full-blown capacity of Shimusha Shel Torah, that manhig will succeed in ferreting out and unraveling what the issue is. May it be the will of Hashem that we merit such manhigim and such leadership in Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen.